You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock at 3 o'clock on a beautiful Monday afternoon. The draft is complete. The baseballs are rolling, and Rick Barnes's roster continues to fall into place. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
How are we?
Outstanding.
Fantastic.
Spectacular.
Superb.
Houston's got that day before vacation vibe about him right now. I'm not saying my man's mailing it in, but he does have one foot out the door.
That's Chris, not true, and it's not vacation.
First member of the new lineup, the new drive, to request and be granted a vacation.
It's not a vacation. It's a business trip.
Business
trip. It's not a business trip.
It is Tennessee versus Kentucky. I am representing you, you, and you in a tournament to decide the champion.
What?
Tennessee versus Kentucky.
Champion. You know, what?
Of what?
Please describe.
Bass fishing.
You just reminded me of great scene in Mississippi Burning. You seen it, Tucker?
That's a no.
Oh, you need to go check it out. Gene
Hackman. I saw it one time in the theater.
At his greatest. He walks into the good old boys are sitting around. Very serious movie. It's kind of dark. But he walks into the good old boys in Mississippi in the 1960s. They're sitting around their little honky-tonk all having a beer. And Gene Hackman is the FBI agent sent to investigate the killings of the young civil rights workers. And he goes, hey boys, this looks like a place a man can wet his whistle. The guy, good old boy says, got to be a member to drink here. Hackman looks around and goes, member of what? So how long is this competition, Chris?
Till Saturday night.
A five-day fishing tournament?
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to be the guy. Wait, there's a little pause there. Wait, is it a 2 or 3 day fishing tournament with 2 or 3 days of Crest vacation built in?
Is that what's happening here? There's no vacation. It is 2 days of practice, the end of the second day.
Practice? You're fishing.
What the hell?
You guys don't – like. This is what always happens with people who don't understand bass. Like, you can't just walk out there and be like, there they are. I can't see them. You got to find them. So you got to put in the work.
So you're using your vacation
prep work
to go
key.
Sit in a boat doing something that is more boring than watching paint dry.
Wait,
it's not more boring. What are you talking about? I'm not just sitting there watching a bobber.
If this is,
I'll send you pictures and video so you understand.
You don't have to.
Yeah, if this isn't vacation, when are you doing that?
Well, if it has to count as vacation days, it has to count as vacation days.
He did join the show, immediately get married, and then go on vacation. So it's not
used
the first
one
time
already.
No, because you guys didn't do shows that week because there was a blizzard. I timed my vacation.
We did 3 shows that week.
Yeah, we
did. Risked life and limb sliding down
spaces.
We did spaces.
That was only 2 days.
And then we did 3 shows live that week.
Russell and I slid down the hill at the old White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios.
Okay, then I'm not going fishing. I'm sick.
It's too late now.
We'll see.
You already
maybe,
told
maybe
us.
Maybe I'll wake up tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, this guilt trip is coming at you no matter what at this point.
I don't feel guilty about it.
He's like, okay, I don't care.
I kind of wish I did, but, you know, we were in here multiple weekends. I was here till 1 a.m. Thursday.
Oh, here it comes.
No, I'm not just saying.
I've earned this.
This is
That's
for
a good
me.
Point, Houston. That's a really good point.
This is democracy
manifest.
I was having a meal.
Succulent Chinese.
So we might have some special guest co-hosts this week. Wednesday, we're going to be up at Smokies Park in Sevierville, but that's going to be fun, a little nine-inning vacation. But we got a lot to kick around and get into. So if you have any requests or complaints or other statements that you need to direct towards the Vol Rumor Mill, now would be a good time because this is the only opportunity you will have this week. 865-288-3131 is your phone number. As the NFL draft is complete, we see a trio of volunteers selected on day three of the NFL draft. Jalen Wright to the Dolphins with the 120th overall pick of the fourth round. Joe Milton III going 193 overall in the sixth round to the Patriots. Bit of a surprise there. And then Kamal Haddon gets picked up in the sixth round by the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's interesting spots for all three of these guys.
I think two of the three landed very well.
Yeah, and I saw Kamal Haddon labeled as a steal.
Yeah.
Multiple places.
I think him and Jalen Wright ended up in terrific spots. Joe, I'm not saying it's a bad spot, but New England's been quarterback hell since Tom Brady got out of there. Obviously, Gerard Mayo takes over. They're kind of loaded at that position, so we'll see if he
Who all do they have now?
Oh, they're loaded. They just have a lot of
I
names.
I guess that's what I meant. They're full.
They're full. They got Drake May, and they got Jacoby Brissett, who's
– And Bailey Zappe.
I forgot about
And Joe
Zappe.
Milton, and there's one more, like Hope.
Yeah, there was another guy.
A 13-year guy.
Like Brian Hoyer or somebody?
It's like that, but I can't remember. But maybe they're trying to, you know, clean out some of the
– I think we all agree, Jalen Wright, Mike McDaniel offense, Devin Achane, Mostert, like he just – I mean, you Speed. Talk about fit. Mm-hmm. That's pretty right on in terms of fit.
How much is he going to play, though?
Well, that is a position that – I mean, neither of those guys have done a very good job of staying healthy. Not that it's their fault. Yeah. It's just the nature of the position.
Now,
so.
Mostert is getting –
I imagine McDaniel figure out a way to get him on the field with this offense.
Yeah, I think this is Mostert's last year of his deal.
Okay. I would imagine so, because he's not really young anymore for running back standards, and Achane is – I guess still relatively young, so he would take over for Mostert there at that position at the RB1 spot.
And Chiefs, probably perfect place for Haddon, Andy Reid.
The nature of the Chiefs, especially when they're good, and we'll see how what's the receiver they got that they drafted?
Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, they got Worthy. So you got to think, like, assuming he can catch the ball, which was his big issue, they're going to be a little more vertical, more high-flying, and the nature of that is that your defense is going to have to defend a lot of passes. Well, there you go. Picked up a corner. I think Kamal, as long as he's – and I guess they would have taken him if he wasn't. As long as he's healthy, I think he's got a good shot there. Because that's been the Chiefs' thing. Like, oh, yeah, they're really good offensively. Defense, some years, not very good. They got a lot better on the defensive line last year. I think this is a great opportunity for Haddon.
Always interesting to look ahead and see the immediate thoughts about next year. DraftKings has already posted odds for numerous college players to be the number one overall pick in next year's draft. Of course, it is quarterback heavy. You've got Shedeur Sanders listed at plus 100, Carson Beck at plus 300, Quinn Ewers at plus 300, Drew Allar from Penn State plus 850, and Jalen Milroe. Plus 950. Anybody want to put any action on Jalen Milroe, perhaps being the number one overall pick?
I'm not impressed by any of those names.
No, and if you want to light your money on fire, put it on Drew Aller.
Yes. That's a terrible pick.
That is unbelievable.
What odds does our guy, Pierce, have?
Not as high as you would think for a lot of people that have been saying he's, you know, perhaps number one overall. Defensive lineman Mikael Williams, I'm not sure. Georgia, plus 1,500. Defensive lineman Patrick Payton from Florida State plus 1,800. Defensive lineman JT Tuimalo from Ohio State plus 2,000. And James Pierce, along with Harold Perkins of LSU and Travis Hunter. Pierce and Perkins and Tuimalo are plus 2,000. Travis Hunter's plus 2,200. So very early.
It kind of makes sense too. I mean, this is it's a quarterback league. If you need a defensive end at the first spot, odds are you're probably going to trade down and let somebody come up and get their quarterback. But we'll see.
Texans drafted Clowney.
It was a different NFL then, Tucker.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Who did the Texans also? Was it Mario Williams? Didn't he go number one to the Texans?
Yep.
I feel like he was okay. He was pretty good.
Where'd he end up at? Buffalo?
That sounds right.
Yeah. He ended up with the Bills.
When was that? What year was that he went number one overall?
06, because Vince Young was taken in that draft.
Wasn't that right after they got Carr?
It's been a long time, man.
18 David Carr? Years.
Yeah, because he got his face kicked in, and they were terrible because they didn't have an offensive line. Mm. And then they get Mario Williams, defensive lineman. NC State?
Yep.
Yeah.
Titans had an interesting draft, to say the least. We were talking about it before we came on, and the more the faces, the names change, the more things stay the same. Titans like to gamble in the draft. They just do. That front office, I mean, they will.
I mean, start with number one, Latham.
Yeah, but I mean, even going back to, you know, Big Jeff was a gamble that paid off. Obviously, there have been numerous gambles that did not pay off. We don't have to go through all of them here. I do think that on the surface of it, they're looking and saying, did you get three starters in the draft this weekend? If you're the Titans, there's a pretty good chance that obviously Latham, Tavondre Sweat out of Texas in round two.
He's
and
a
then Cedric Gray, round four for the Titans, was a potential day one plug-and-play starter right there. I did see where Jabari Small and Gabe Judy Lollipop signed with the Titans in free agency. So,
well, I didn't
good
see
luck to
Judy
those guys.
Lolly. I didn't know that he had signed with the Titans.
Nashville kid. Checks out. Hope that's – I guess that makes sense for both of those guys, right, Tucker? I mean, they need help in the secondary. They'd probably want to add another running back or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be like the new Hassan Haskins.
I always worry that guys are going to get too married to, like, geography. Like, those are – obviously, Judy Lolly played at Vanderbilt. Jabari Small's from Memphis. Do they just want to be kind of closer to home? But I think, actually, as I think about it, it's a pretty good fit for those guys. Chance of making a roster.
Gray's out of Tulane.
North Carolina.
Tennessee has produced multiple offensive picks now in three straight drafts with eight total offensive players under Josh Heupel. Total of 13 players in the Heupel era have been drafted since the 2022 NFL draft. It's the highest three-year span of draft picks for the Vols since 14 went in 06 to 08.
Wow.
So, yeah, that illustrates the dearth of talent and development that's been going on here since then. But I do find that stat interesting because it basically says, hey, this is the most we've had put in the draft in any three-year span since the Fulmer era.
Yeah.
And you could
Which
say
– Which is weird because it feels like there were some pretty good years, decent stretches under even – sorry to say it, but Butch yeah, Jones. Sure. Like, you feel like there were a lot, but maybe it was just top-heavy.
Well, you'd have one good draft, and
right,
then the next
yep.
year you'd go 0-for. But, you know, I guess you – you know, some people say, well, Heupel – a lot of these guys are Pruitt recruits that he's been getting drafted, and fair enough. But to me, I mean, what does it say about his development skills? And then, if you're looking at it from a glass half full standpoint, what does it look like once it's his guys that start getting drafted, which I think mm-hmm. is going to be the case starting next year?
Right, right.
Very interesting numbers coming out of the draft. Tennessee, three total selections, now has 387 all-time draft picks, which dates back to 1936. Bear remembers that draft. That mark includes the AFL draft, which, of course, merged with the NFL in 1967.
I believe I saw a stat today that with Joe Milton being drafted, Tennessee is tied for first in the SEC with quarterbacks being drafted since the merger.
Yes.
That's wild.
15 QBs drafted wow. in the common draft era, as it is known. Tied for first in the SEC and fifth nationally.
Fifth nationally?
Yeah.
God, that's crazy.
Well,
it doesn't feel that way, but that's, I mean, numbers don't lie. That's wild.
Put Nico in there.
Yep, yep.
Get it up to 16 here in the next couple of years. Maybe King George goes after that.
I got a feeling Heupel will put some guys in the draft. I mean, he already has, but his guys, you know.
Heupel, since 2010, five Heupel-coached QBs have been drafted. Milton, Hooker last year, Drew Locke in 2019, Landry Jones in 2013, and Sam Bradford in 2010.
He made Bradford a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made like $150 million.
But he had that – I mean, it was that contract is what That's made what them redo it. The rookie wage scale.
Was it that one and the Matt Stafford? Weren't they right around the same time? And the NFL, I guess it was the Players Association, was Stafford's. Like, no, we're not paying the rookies like this anymore. Not happening.
Well, the top of the draft is still, I mean, it's gotten up near $40 million guaranteed right now for the top player and goes down from there. But so, yeah, those guys aren't going hungry. But,
no, they're fine. They're fine.
But the days of the Sam Bradford $120 million right out of the gate, yeah, those are gone. It's probably a good thing. One other quarterback stat for you from UT Sports today. Hooker and Milton back-to-back. Tennessee just one of three programs in the last 5 years now with a quarterback selected in back-to-back drafts.
Interesting.
The first time since 94-95 that Tennessee has achieved that feat. Heath Shuler in 1994. Who was taken in 1995?
95?
Yeah, local boy.
Todd Helton?
Nope. Jerome Colquitt. Oak Ridge Wildcat went sixth in the sixth round to 191. Seattle? I believe the Seahawks took him. I don't have that here in my notes.
That's how he ended up there.
Pretty interesting statistics. Stay with us. We're just getting started as we start to peel back the layers of several onions here this afternoon. Tennessee, Rick Barnes getting some good news in the transfer portal today as, again, that picture continues to come into focus a little bit clearer as Igor Milicic Jr. makes it official committing to Tennessee. We'll talk about him. Where does he figure in? Is this a starter? What position is he playing? What is his role? And what's next as Tennessee now has three spots to play with, 10 guys on the roster for next year. Also, Tobe Awaka has a new home. Tucker Anderson is not going to be a part of this roster. So a lot of moving pieces continuing to swirl out there. We'll break it down for you when we continue next right here on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Houston Kress, and Bear Tucker Harlan along for the ride this afternoon as we break it down on The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. One other football note before we talk a little hoops with you this afternoon. Another transfer portal entry for Tennessee today. Sophomore Christian Conyer leaving the program after just one season.
Interesting.
You know, we get so worked up over these guys in the recruiting process, right? I remember this battle. Oh, he's a four-star from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and it's Tennessee and Kentucky, and we wanted to win this one just to kind of remember Kentucky who your daddy is, right? Just flex on him a little bit. But we also, you know, he's a four-star corner and for a school that we've had secondary play deficiencies through the years. I just remember that recruiting battle and how excited we were when we get him. And I don't even know if he played special teams this past year. I mean, literally made no contribution.
Yeah, I feel like he got in a little bit. I don't know. Just based on how our secondary has performed the last couple of years, anytime one of those young guys isn't seeing the field, I'm thinking, okay, one more offseason. This will be the one. He'll take that step. And I guess he was one that I kind of had penciled in as I expected to see him out there. But maybe he got word that that's not going to be the case.
Well, we signed three that year. It was him. Is it Justin Matthew, Justin Matthews from Baton Rouge? Mm-hmm. And then Ricky Gibson,
third. Gibson, right, yep.
From Alabama. And Gibson is, we believe he's going to be starting this year. So he's a big piece.
I mean, he got the most run last year, I felt like, out of the freshman, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, Matthews was the highest touted. I mean – and then it's like Gibson / Conyer were both – I mean, Conyer was probably a little bit higher rated, but which is interesting, right? Yeah, Gibson turns out to be the – we probably shouldn't say turns out to be anything yet, but
Where was Gibson out of?
Projected to
Alabama
to play the most. Yeah, I believe Trustville High School.
Yeah, that's Birmingham area, northeast.
So it's interesting. Recruiting is an art, not a science. Christian Conyer, we hardly knew you. I wonder if he'll go up there to Kentucky now, or if he'll go somewhere where the path to playing time is a little bit more immediate, shall we say.
You can go to Louisville.
I don't know. Sounds like those NIL checks aren't clearing up there.
It's a good point. Nick Stoops throws his hat back in the ring. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what we have here because we never really saw him play any. What is the secondary situation like coming out of spring? We've got Gibson at one corner, Jermod McCoy at the other. What is it behind those guys? Matthews?
The Thomases, Jacoby and Jordan Thomas.
Jordan Thomas at the star, Jacoby Thomas with Turrentine at safety.
Yeah.
Who are the other corners if, knocking on wood here,
I hear you,
something bad happens? Seems like Conyer could have been one of those guys.
I know. No, you started going through, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we're good.
The McMurray kid from Temple.
I was going to say Jalen McMurray, Jermod McCoy. I thought Christian Charles had left, but I guess he's here.
He's still there.
Assuming he's going to be
injured
safety
all the time.
Yeah, he is constantly injured.
And can't find a home. Is he a star? Is he a safety? Mm-hmm. Is he a corner? Who knows?
Got Boo Carter out there.
Boo Carter.
That's awesome, true.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard they like him at the star long term.
Mm.
Good return man, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder, Christian Conyer bolts up out of here, just one pulled hammy, turned ankle, something like that, around away from him, maybe wondering if you stick around. But these kids are in tough spots, too. You know, you can't see the future, obviously. So we'll see what happens there.
They don't want to waste any time.
No. Igor Milicic Jr. makes it official. The 6'9", 6'10" big man from Charlotte by way of Virginia, by way of Croatia, finally making it official, committing to Tennessee today. He joins Darlingstone Dubar from Hofstra and Felix Akpara from Ohio State as Tennessee's transfer portal snags so far. You got three of them. As we said before the break, you're up to 10 now with three spots to play with. And Igor averaged right at 13 points, 8.5 rebounds this season for the 49ers. Shot 37.6% from the three-point line.
Go ahead and give him 38.
I don't know. 37 is a solid number.
It's a good point. Good point by you. Is this going to be, we know where Zakai plays, we know where Akpara plays, and the other three are interchangeable to a degree?
I think there's a lot of interchangeableness going on. Position basketball, mm-hmm. Positionless basketball, I should say, as Coach Gainey likes to say sometimes when he joins us here on the program. But it seems like Triple J carved out a very unique role for himself and one almost invented a new position the past two seasons here at Tennessee. And I just wonder, is Milicic penciled in there? You know, they probably have a lot of practice they want to work out, and, you know, they're moving pieces here, obviously. But, man, it's hard not to see 6'10", 37.6% from three-point range. Yeah.
I'm hoping that's a guy we can move around a little bit. Get him, because this is what we heard about Estrella too. Oh, Estrella, he can shoot the three. Well, he didn't really get a chance to do that.
We hear this about all these big
guys.
All
the big guys,
yeah.
Which is true, just of the modern game.
Going back
big
to
guys
Zach
can
Kent
shoot.
Cook.
Yep. They can all shoot the three now, but yeah. We don't really get to see it that much. I mean, I remember when Urosh committed, watching his highlights. He's burying threes, burying them.
Yes,
I'm like, oh, a 7-foot-1 guy who can bomb away. I don't know if he ever stepped foot outside the three-point line.
I don't
on
think
offense.
He ever tried one.
No, and that's fine. It's you know, it's whatever. But if you've got a guy like Milicic, who's that athletic, that big, but also, I mean, He's not shooting 28%. That's almost 38%. You got to give him some looks. But plus, that just puts a lot of stress on the defense.
As they give, if you're a quote unquote big man, you better, you if you cannot shoot it, you better be able to block shots and quote unquote protect the rim, like nobody's business, because you got to shoot. And my read on it, outside looking in, is that this looks pretty good for Tennessee. Is it looks like we're getting a lot of shooters. Dubar shot 40% from 3-point range. This guy shot a good percentage. Obviously, Chaz Lanier, I think we're still the favorite there. We know Ziegler can shoot it pretty good. So we're getting a lot of shooting to go along with Okpara, who is not a shooter, but again, don't think that's what he was brought in to do here. And kind of along those lines, see where Tobe Awaka today commits to Arizona.
How'd you feel about that when you saw it?
I wish him well, man. It's the other side of the country. We don't have to play against him. Disappointed to see him go. But here's the thing about Awaka, and this ties into what we're talking about here with big men needing to be able to shoot. Guys who, and I know they listed Tobe at 6'8". I've stood next to Tobe. He's 6'6" with his sneakers on. Big men who can't rim protect better be able to shoot. And Tobe Awaka is not a shooter. Talk about guys who never attempted a 3-point range. I mean, that's just not part of his game.
No, if he got outside about, what, 6-7 feet, you were just thinking, pass it, please?
Yeah. I know we
He didn't take that many of those.
I know we all liked his rugged approach, and he's a great rebounder. He's a rebounder like we've never had here before, and that's probably the most disappointing aspect of his game to lose. But I don't know that it is necessarily a huge loss. Again, some of this will come out in the wash. We'll see, but you've got 6'10 Milicic, 6'10 Okpara, 6'10 Estrella, and 6'9, 6'10 Cade Phillips right now. So the big men are all long. I just don't know. Unless you're Grant Williams, and you're just super, you can do it all. I don't know that there's much need for big men who are, you know, not at least 6'9".
I have a hard time understanding how he would fit in at Arizona just because of the whole height thing and the fact that he can't shoot, because that's an offense that likes to run. We've seen it under Tommy Lloyd these past however many seasons he's been there since he took over for Sean Miller. But, you know, compared to Umar Ballo, I don't feel like that's an upgrade by any means.
He is a rebounding machine.
Yeah.
He's at the top of all that analytics stuff when it comes to rebounding.
No, he's one of the best to do it, and especially when you consider his size.
If he can figure out a way to not foul just repeatedly in a short period of time.
Well, and the rebounding thing is key. Again, Milicic, 8.5 rebounds per game. Like, that's
really good.
That's really good. How does it translate going from Charlotte to the SEC?
Does it say his minutes per game on that, per chance?
32.2.
Okay, wow, season. High usage, okay.
Yeah, he played his first year at Virginia, did not play much. Transfers to Charlotte, where he played 21 minutes a game as a sophomore and then 32 minutes a game this past season. So what? I think that's going to be one of the more interesting storylines around this program.
Igor?
The next couple of – yeah, what is his role?
I don't know.
So, I don't know that the coaches do either. I think they, in a perfect world, he comes in and just takes the Triple J spot and does everything Triple J did and then some, with better shooting and better rebounding. But I think there is an element of gambling in all this transfer portal stuff. We just feel a lot better about it now since we got to see Dalton connect. Do what he did.
We've proven that we're not inept in navigating the portal. Yeah.
Or snake bit.
Kate Tyson goes to North Carolina. That one's a final now. And Tucker Anderson, the kid from Central Arkansas, goes to Utah State. That was kind of a bummer. I was hoping that we would get him and stash him on the end of the bench for a year and then see if he doesn't turn into anything.
Guys want to play now?
That they do. Would have been nice, too, just because – That was Sheila Frost's son, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been just a cool little aside.
And they brought her back. She was at the baseball game being honored as one of the Hall of Fame inductees.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sitting there watching that thinking, well, this has got to be, you know, they're bringing him in on a
visit. Right.
This has got to be, hey, let's show young Tucker here how much his mother is beloved by Vol fans here and emphasize that this is a family decision and all that stuff. And I guess it didn't work.
That's weird. I didn't realize that they brought her back.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know. And every going to see the floor here.
All kids are different. Some kids might love the idea of going to, you know, where their parents played ball in school, and some may just think, no, I'm going to go forge my own path. Utah State, though, really?
Good program out there.
Okay.
They made the tournament, didn't they?
Got smoked by Purdue. Lost that game by about 40.
Yeah.
They smoked everybody this year.
And
except for you,
I guess if you're him, you can look at it and say, okay, maybe I do want to go to Tennessee. I can go there and ride the pine for a year and maybe play the year after. Or I can go to Utah State, and if I play well there, like I did at Central Arkansas, I can still go to Tennessee the next year because there are no transfer rules anymore, so I can just go wherever. So he might be looking at it as like, maybe I am destined to play in a quote-unquote Power 6 league at some point, but I don't want to do it. Do I want to play or not? And I go and to Utah State and find out if I can't play, then obviously I need to stay there. But if I can't play there, I'm damn sure not going to be able to play in the SEC.
That's a good point. Like, hey, I want to play basketball. If I'm going to make it, I'm going to make it. I'd rather not have to sit a year at Tennessee before I find that out. I can at least go play at Utah State. Maybe he plays well. The NIL value goes up even further. And then if he has an opportunity next year, he's worth more. It's a new game.
All right, so we got 10 scholarships spoken for. You've got Lanier out there who I don't want to tempt the wrath of the whatever high atop the thing by penciling him in. Again, I think he's key. I think this guy, if we get him, I think he's a star.
Yeah, he kind of makes this – I don't want to say make or break, but if you get him, you are feeling very, very good.
Yeah. So that would be 11. We've heard about the Mabor kid out there. I mean, that feels like if – we can have him if we want him. It's just, do we want him? I mean, that would take you to 12 and then give you a spot to play with here later. Saw an interesting point guard from Illinois, Italian kid who played in the world program that Vescovi played in.
Hmm.
Just entered the portal out there. He might be a guy that he's got a couple of years. Maybe you could convince him to, hey, come learn from Zakai, play a little bit, and then take over.
I mean –
or maybe you find another Zakai / Awaka / late bloomer.
That's kind of what I'm wondering. Like, do you at least keep one spot in your pocket in case something wild happens, another transfer portal addition,
sure.
a late find?
Wasn't Santi a late find as well?
Yeah,
like January. Like, the season had started, and we found him. He got to campus practice for, what, a week, maybe?
Yeah, they knew they were after him at the time. They just didn't know if they could get him on scholarship.
Right.
That might not be a bad strategy, just have a spot open. And, you know, I know it didn't work out with Freddie Buckets, but that was a situation where we just sort of had a spot open, right? And it's like, oh, why don't you just come over now?
Mm-hmm.
And he did, so.
He's a Nittany Lion now.
Yep.
Freddie D. He's got some warm clothes.
That one didn't hurt as much as just. Are you a little surprised Awaka ended up at Arizona?
How so?
I mean, I'm not saying the guy's not very good, but Arizona,
I sense some resentment that he actually ended up at a.
No, I really am. I swear.
I wish you could nothing but the best.
I'm happy for him. I was surprised that it was Arizona.
I'm really not, because when he had good games. I mean, we probably don't win at Missouri without him, right? And there were moments in the – I mean, he was by far our best big in the NCAA tournament. And the coaches that are in the portal, they see that. They see the kind of force that he can be on the inside. And, I'm really not surprised. The other ones out there, I think the last I saw, Adu was taking a visit to North Carolina. It's like, man, if you didn't want to fight for your spot here at Tennessee,
you know, North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what their depth chart is, but I'm guessing it ain't any worse than ours when it comes to low post presence.
Wonder where he ends up.
I mean, I've heard Kentucky, North Carolina, Arkansas, Baylor, schools I've heard with him. So another guy that's going to have kind of A-list options out there.
Yeah, somebody's getting them. I like. Oh, or Adu. I think he's pretty good. They're getting a pretty good product there. You're welcome.
Coming.
Jeez.
Put in all the hard work and. Somebody
I'm going to miss a Waka more than
reap
Jonas.
The benefits.
I'm going to miss them both, but.
I will too, and I think it's kind of the way this whole thing played out at the end. I like Tobe more.
My level of missing Adu will be very much impacted by how good Okpara is.
Right.
If he's as good, then we won't miss him at all. But if he's not, then I think we might be, oh, man. Remember that Adu last year, second team all SEC? Yeah. Time will tell where this Tennessee baseball team is going. The Volunteers get the sweep against Mizzou this weekend at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Big week coming up with back-to-back road trips now at Florida, at Vanderbilt. Tennessee one game behind Kentucky in the SEC East. Narrative galore. We'll dive into it, including national championship odds from DraftKings when we continue next. It's The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues doing the thing on a Monday afternoon. Yeah, it was a productive week for Tennessee baseball. Vols take care of business. We hit like four home runs Thursday night in game one, and then no dingers the rest of the series.
It's an outrage.
It is an outrage. I was at the ball game, took the missus to her first game on Saturday. No dingers. It was hot out there too, man. A little steamy.
I didn't think it was too bad.
Well, you were up in the condition. Were you in the tent or were you up in the air condition?
I was in the tent.
Oh.
You have shade.
For some reason, I thought you were up top. I would have come
by
and
say
hi. No,
I was not. I actually saw you walk by.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And you didn't say hello?
I peeked out for just a second.
It's the second creeper thing today. Yeah.
That's too creepy.
Stalker
things.
Harlan.
Stalker.
You know, they got laws against this sort of thing, Tucker. I don't know how I like this being watched. When I'm not aware of it.
You got a picture of him from behind you want to send us?
There goes Russ, and then.
The guy behind the plant, Jeff.
I tried to peek my head out there to say hi, but he had turned by that point.
You could have texted him, said, hey, you just walked by me, come back.
Could have done that, Tucker.
Butthead. I mean, that's. Oh! I mean, not you. Would have text added that to the text. Hey, you're not going to talk to us?
Working at that point.
Working. The hell are you guys doing that? You're watching the game working. That's not work. Eating hot dogs, hanging out with, you know, your baseball buddies.
You are talking to a man who knows what it looks like not to work. So I don't think you're going to get anything over on him, Tucker.
Hey, you watch your mouth, Russ.
That's why I'm taking this with a grain of salt.
I'm taking this with a grain of salt.
Tennessee up to plus 1,000 odds on FanDuel to win it all this year. Are we tempting the wrath of the whatever high atop the thing to even have this conversation?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Let's not even talk about it.
There's no way we could talk about it more than the year we did nothing but talk about
That's
it.
That's true.
And we should have learned our lesson.
So you think it's just a process? We just concentrate on the next game.
We got Florida coming up this weekend, Russ. We got Florida coming up. That's who I'm getting ready for. How about you? You guys are talking about damn Omaha. We haven't even hit the SEC tournament yet.
Does winning the East matter to you?
Yeah, just because it means no one else won it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say hang the banner, but yeah, like to be able to say you were the best team in the East, I think that's important.
So here's a weird thing that happens in my stupid fan brain. We're third in the East. We're third in the nation, or second in the East, third in the nation. And I look at it. I don't want to be first.
I don't either.
I don't want that. But I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose any of these games. I don't want to lose any of these series. But I also don't want to climb too high. There's part of me that thinks, what if we won six series in a row now?
All I want is to – you guarantee me that we're hosting a Super, the Super.
I want that home field advantage.
Home field till the like, World Series. And then
number three is good. Perfect. I like where we are right now.
Perfect.
But if we keep winning, we're going to go higher.
Who are the two teams ahead of us?
A&M and
– Arkansas.
Clemson. Arkansas. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're on a tear.
Is Clemson falling off? I saw they were playing. They had a big hoodoo up at their game.
A hoodoo.
Yeah. What, guy was.
Is that a CCR reference?
Gyrating and
chasing down a hoodoo. There.
Dancing after he hit a home run, and then the next day or the next at bat, Clemson threw behind him.
They are still at number four.
Very rare.
Do not see that in the college game. Have you guys seen the Texas A&M post gone viral about the Georgia pitcher?
No.
Shows him in the bullpen. He goes to the corner, gets on his knees, gets something, doing some
stuff.
And then he gets on the mound, throws a pitch, and then you can see him rubbing something out of his glove.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I think an investigation should take place.
Foreign substance?
Georgia, crooked.
I'm all for any investigation. You know, they acted like we were the outlier that year with the whole – bat thing and Jordan Beck, whatever happened there.
Pretty much fell off the bat, you know? What are you going to do?
That was a hot bat.
Stickers sometimes.
No, it was not.
The hell it wasn't.
What makes you say that? They got the bat. They tested it. If it had been bad, they'd have kicked Jordan. They'd have banned him for three games or something. You don't think so?
I think there's a lot of mystery to that situation that we'll never really know. But I think baseball is just an inherently dirty sport inhabited by cheaters, just professional wrestling characters everywhere who will do anything to get just a little bit of a leg up on the competition. And
Russell, name one person who has ever cheated in baseball.
Gaylord Perry, the Necro Brothers, my guy,
McGuire,
Greg Nettles.
So I was kidding.
He had Nettles had the bat explode.
Do you consider fixing games to be cheating?
I'm going to go with a big yeah.
Massive amounts of Russian horse steroids those guys in the 90s got all jacked up on.
One, speaking of Jordan Beck, our boy got called up to the show today.
Yeah. Congrats to him.
More on that coming up here in just a little minute, as we say around these parts. Let's go to the phones and talk to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What do you say, David?
What's up, Philly?
Thought I was about to hang up there for a second.
Oh, patience is a virtue, we like to say around here.
Yeah, it sure is, especially if a Tennessee fan, you know.
Things are going good right now, Phil. Top 10 in all these sports. Banner Dan. Doing his thing?
Yeah. We're good at getting the top 10 to win championships in our store, you know.
Won an SEC championship in basketball. I think we won one in baseball here recently.
Y'all talking about the football. Since 1967 till now, we have 15 NFL draftees. I guess Dewey Warren's probably the first one.
Who's the Swamp Rat get drafted by? The Bengals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Tennessee's had some good quarterbacks over the years.
Yes, they have. And as long as Josh Heupel is here, I would venture to guess that they're going to have good ones for the foreseeable future.
But I am concerned if they don't have 10-plus people drafted next year, where are we going as a program?
You know, it's interesting. You keep waiting for that. I mean, three is not bad. There have been years, we had back-to-back years where we didn't have a single player drafted. But you do look at, you see Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State putting, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys in this draft every year. And, you know, I don't know that it's reasonable to expect to get to that level anytime soon, but I do think that at some point it takes pros to win. Yeah. And so that's recruiting.
If you go back to the majors, former era, you usually had some people, elite players drafted about every year. I mean, that's bottom line. That shows you how bad that our program has got to because of the terrible hires.
It was in a bad way a couple of years ago, no doubt. I for one, think we are firmly ahead of – those days are in the past.
Yeah. Hopefully we can you got to – I say Hopper's got 2 years to get in the playoff or the seat's going to get warm.
What?
Already pushing for Heupel to be gone.
Phil.
He didn't say that. He said warm.
Be year six. You got to get to the playoff.
Well, no, I understand, but I also see what Phil's setting up for here. He's laying the groundwork.
Set up. You either win or you don't.
He's got his trowel out. I'm performing some fantastic masonry right here.
Guys, the basketball recruiting's interesting. I think this guy from Charlotte's going to start over there.
I do too.
You watch film on this guy?
Miličić?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been talking about pretty much since we all got here this afternoon before the show.
Like he'll play the four, be a stretch four. And you got the two big guys in to play the five, and I guess Cade Phillips will back him up. But that guy from Hofstra, I think he can play the three and the four.
So Miličić at the four, Dubar at the three, the connect role, Akpara at the five, and then Lanier Ziegler
two,
in the back
Ziegler one. Yeah,
it's pretty good, Phil. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and then I think they're going to use a little scholarship. They're going to get their point guard. They can't take no chances of Ziegler going down and run the season.
I agree with you on that. They got to get one more guy who can handle the ball if we have to.
That's why I don't understand why they didn't get. Especially, I've been beating this dead horse, the way he finished the year we beat Duke and then lost to FAU when Jemai had to run point as much as he did. Why they didn't get him more minutes this year running point and maybe not put 39 minutes a night on Zakai so that by the time – you know, that's one of those things. I mean, and for 3 years now, or two out of three when Zakai's been playing, he plays all these minutes and his legs go at the end.
Well, I think Mayshak will play plenty. He'll play some two. He'll play some three. He's going to get it. He'll get 20 plus minutes. The way I look at it, I think the less minutes Ganey plays, it shows you're going to have a lot better basketball team.
A vicious cheap shot.
Never too
it's
early.
It's reality. It's not a cheap shot. You either know basketball or you don't.
Oh, we're doing this again now.
Get the hell out of here, Phil.
I mean, that
Nancy.
As I mean, we start off with, well, we ain't won no championships. To Josh Heupel's going to be on the hot seat if he doesn't make the playoffs in 2 years. To whatever the heck that was. I mean, what is this? A miserable Monday?
Miserable Monday with Phil.
Sun is shining outside. There's a vibe in the air. Everybody's feeling good. Even Tucker's Cardinals won a series this week against the New York Mets. How about that?
That they did.
Dreams really do come true.
Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive will start with Tucker Harlan and the top four at four when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio.